Hello, this is Janet Meshuggah Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, you know, the concept of doing something out of a sense of duty has taken on a negative connotation. Somewhere along the line, it became something negative if you're doing it because you feel like you need to do it. But you know, that's really something that's missing in the world, and even missing in the body of Christ, where people feel to do their duty and they do it. Now, of course, we don't just do out of a sense of duty, but our sense of duty comes out of love. Love for Jesus Christ. Love for His work in this earth. So that we can't not do our duty. We desire to do it, and we do it well. It's missing all around, this sense of the things that are right to do, or personal duties and responsibilities. In a secular sense, you see things like littering. People think nothing of throwing a bag of trash out of their window of their car, never thinking, who's going to have to pick this up? They don't really care. Or opening their car door into another person's car door, scratching it up. They never think a thing about it. They don't really care. Now, you may think, well, these are just trivial things. They represent the symptoms of a problem. And the problem is this living entirely for yourself and in yourself and according to your own self rules and never thinking in terms of duty or responsibility. Children are not taught. They go into the house of God. They treat it disrespectfully. They don't even know how to do. How do you know unless somebody teach you? But there's no one teaching these kind of things. I guess it's just a matter of being distracted by so many other things that we don't take the time to teach little ones and young folks and even some older folks the right way to do, the right things to do that are a matter of duty, that are a matter of responsibility. Well, you really can't change anybody else. If you've got children, you can help to change them by the fact that you teach them the right things, you teach them the truth, you bring to them the Word of God, and then you pray that the Holy Spirit will make this real on the inside of them. But there is one person that you can see change by submitting to the will of the Holy Spirit, and that is yourself. And to examine in your life, are you doing a lot of things, but maybe in the doing of a lot of things, really reneging on your responsibility or your duty? You know, we're going to stand before God and give an account of the things that we've done. No, we're not saved by our works of righteousness, but we're saved to do works of righteousness. And we certainly have personal responsibility and, yes, duty. We're very glad that our military personnel have a sense of duty, so that they get out there and they put their lives on the line for people they don't even know. Duty to country. I want to talk to you a little bit today about duty, particularly in your relationship with God and your fellow Christians. Let's look first of all in Ecclesiastes 12:8. The book of Ecclesiastes ends this way with verse 9. Because the teacher was wise, he taught the people everything he knew. He collected proverbs and classified them. Indeed, the teacher taught the plain truth, and he did so in an interesting way. A wise teacher's words spur students to action and emphasize important truths. You know, the word that you bring can encourage other people, edify other people in such a way that they want to do the right thing, and nothing speaks louder than your personal example of the way you live. Goes on to say, the collected sayings of the wise are like guidance from a shepherd. And then he concludes by saying, but my child, be warned, there is no end of opinions ready to be expressed. Studying them can go on forever and become very exhausting. So he boils everything down to this. He says, here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is the duty of every person. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Simple. Fear God, obey His commandments. And again, as most of you probably know that this is a reverential fear, just like you have a child has reverential fear, or should have, of the loving parent that is guiding them to do the right thing. With God, it's knowing that He is a loving Father, but also realizing He is so far beyond our ability to understand that we should live in awe of Him. And out of that should come obedience to His commandments. That is our duty. Jesus, in what He did, only reinforced the fact that we need to be obedient. He made a way now where we could be obedient from the heart, in that He broke down the partition between us and the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit fills us, and we can do what we do from an inner motive. God works in us both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. James 1, beginning with verse 26, says, "If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless." Okay, well, that's for another day. That could be a whole lesson in and of itself. But then verse 27 says, "Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us." Doing the right thing, because it's the right thing to do. And here the example is given of orphans and widows. Why? Because you're given an example of something that doesn't receive a lot of notice for you doing it. It doesn't put you in a position of awe and power, but it's doing the right thing. The point here, yes, is to care for orphans and widows, but even beyond that is doing those things that are right, even though they're not the showy things, and then not becoming corrupted by the world. And one way we become corrupted by the world is that we begin to take on their way of doing things and their ideas of what is important. And believe me, as you know yourself, the world does not encourage doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. Now, there's this false benevolence among a lot of the world. For example, you know, they'll raise money for a cause, and I love animals, so this is no reflection on animals, but they'll raise great money to save some animal, but yet they will fight for abortion, for women to be able to have the right for abortion. This is not pure religion. This is not true duty. This is false goodness. This is hypocrisy. It's choosing to do what is the politically correct thing to do, and calling that now your duty, calling that your responsibility, and yet it being so blatantly against the Word of God. It's not against the Word of God to help animals, but if you turn around and you justify the killing of babies, something is wrong there. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." How does that have anything to do with duty? Is if you know that God exists, and he is your Lord, he is your Savior, and that you're going to have to give an account for everything you do, you're going to be more likely to do the right thing, knowing also that he will reward you in an eternal sense. The world's estimation is, what can I do now that will give me the 15 minutes of fame now? Now, if I can do something that appears to be good and get the 15 minutes of fame, then I'm going to do that. Oh, no, that's not God's economy. Again, you do the right thing because it is the right thing. You do what God says because he is God. You believe that he is and that he rewards in his time. Let's look at Matthew, beginning in chapter 5. And verse 2, this is the way the Beatitudes are written in the New Living Translation. This is what he taught them. This is Jesus speaking. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. God blesses those who realize their need for him, the poor in spirit, those that don't buck up. For the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this is the mourning over sin, that the godly sorrow of where your life is and where the world is. God comforts and he sets things right for you because you desire what he desires. Then he said, God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Duty. Part of duty is that mercy, being merciful, as God would be merciful and has been merciful to you. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And what does that mean? That the motive is toward God. The focus is toward God. The focus is toward Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and obedience to Him. Verse 9 says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Oh yes, peace in a sense between people or societies or countries, that's fine. But also who work for peace between man and God to bring the good news of the gospel. And then verse 10 says, God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You do the right thing even though you may be persecuted for it. For that is who you are because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is the sign of the person that's going to spend an eternity with God in the kingdom of heaven. Then verse 11 says, God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Duty. Doing the right thing even if it means being persecuted. Doing the right thing even if it's not politically correct. Doing your responsibility and your duty as God instructs. And then finally, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, Now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep away from every brother, that is fellow believer, who is slack in the performance of duty and is disorderly, living as a shirker and not walking in accord with the traditions and instructions that you have received from us. Why? Because you'll end up following their example. We don't have time for that. Jesus is coming soon, and His reward is with Him to give to every person according to what their work may be. So, don't shrink from your responsibility and your duty. Here's a good thing about it. You're not doing it on your own. Christ will help you. Even if you can't, He can if you're willing. I'll say that again. Even if you feel like you can't, He can if you're willing. He'll do it through you. He'll help you to do the right thing. Don't you want to do that? Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you that you help us to be persons that understand our duty and responsibilities and do them with gladness and out of our love for you. Lord, show us the areas where we've shirked, the sins of commission as well as omission. And Lord, give us the strength to do the right thing and to walk in righteousness, even if we are persecuted because of it in this world. Thank you that you have rebuked and exiled the devourer for our sake, so that only your word can and will be manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' name, in His authority, and under His blood that we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, take a good, long, hard look at your life. Are you putting first things last and last things first? Or are you doing your duty? All good soldiers are rewarded. I'm praying for you.